right, let the church say amen. A little silver, a little gold, but there's a city that's full of that stuff. You know, I don't have to worry about someone coming and taking it. I ain't got a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And I hope it's a crown that we're all searching for and seeking for.
Count the days.
And this is something that God wants to put on our head. You know, He wants to put us in a place where there will be no more sorrows, no more worries, no more tears. You know, new heaven, new earth. But all things of the past are going to be just vanished away. And that's a beautiful thing. When you'll never cry again. You'll never have to worry again. You'll never have to worry about paying this bill or paying that bill. This being late, that being late, people being late. You'll never have to worry about that again. The word worry won't even be in your vocabulary no more. What if you didn't have to worry about anything? Never have to wonder what your family's doing or if they're doing well or this is doing well. Don't have to worry about that stuff. But the lesson I brought here today should bring a whole lot of concern to the world. I'm about to talk about a word. It's a very nasty word. It's a word that shouldn't have never been created. It's a word that nothing good comes from it and nothing good comes out of it. It's a word that is used in the Bible, long ago. And it's a word that is being celebrated, publicized, and, used today. Not the word itself, but the display of it, the lifestyle of it is being used today as something that is good. And that word is called debauchery. It is a very nasty word. But guess what? This word is in the Bible. This word exists. The word itself is not in all translations. You will not. I don't think you'll find the word itself in the New King's, King James Version of the Bible. Okay, but the attitude, the behavior, spells this word. All right. There's a word that we were not created for. What is this word? What is debauchery? It is living a lifestyle contrary to what you were made for. All right. It is living in drunkenness, partying, drug use, sex immorality, worldliness, and basically unholiness is what it is. Living a life of unholiness. America is the land. The captain is at the helm driving this word straight to the devil's playground. America's leading the charge on it. So we got the most money, okay? We have the most resources, and we're the freest country in the world. We're the freest country in the world. We can vote on things. We can lobby. We can cheat. We can say things and get away with it if we have the right coin. This is the world we live in. We live in this world, but guess what? We're not of it. We shouldn't think like it. We shouldn't act like it, all right? This is something that you need to have a conscience about because this is something that's living among us, all right? America is the land of the wicked. I'm sorry to say, it is the land of the wicked. We are seeing an increase, and might I say this word, it is a nasty word I'm about to say, but a word exists, all right? An increase of bestiality in this country. There are places you can go in this country and witness this stuff. By just paying for it. Horrible things being done to men, women, animals alike. It is bad. You can just pay for it. You can just pay for it. And just watch it. Alright? Homosexuality and other lascivious things. No true believer will live such a way and expect anything else from in this lifestyle. Is this eternal separation from God with the two types of pain. The first type of pain, when you're there in that dark place, is remembering every lie, every cheat, everything you've done, every time you've given in to temptation, every time you cheated someone, every time you lied to yourself, Every time you said a bad, had an evil thought, anytime you planned evil, anytime you done anything that you know was contrary to the word of God, that you know and read about and you're conscious about, you are going to remember everything that you've done. And you will never forget it. That's pain. Because you'll never forget. But then there's another pain. The pain that touches your flesh over and over and over forever. That's a pain that someone, that none of us should ever want to even think about. But God created this place for Satan and his angels. He did not initially create this place for humankind. But guess what? God has to be God. And he cannot go against himself. So he will send you to a place that was not created for you and take you there. He enlarged hell because of people and the wickedness. It was not designed for us. The fight we are in was not designed for us. It was for God and hell and those angels and for Satan and his angels. That's the battle that we're in. We were supposed to be the ones that are supposed to tell people about the gospel, about Christ, so they can hear it for themselves and they can be part of God's family before God says, that's it. That's no more. My son, I need you to come down there. I need you to take my people and bring them back to me. That's what Jesus is to do now. Okay? Another thing Jesus is doing is partitioning on our side. On the right hand of the Father, trying to help everybody that he can get to heaven before the Father says, that's it. No more. Let's go. Jesus has no say. The angels have no say. Only he knows when that's going to happen. Ever since I was little, my grandmother has been saying, we are in the last days. But guess what? We in them. When I was little, there was no pride parade. When I was little, you couldn't marry this or marry that. Now they have made it. In Iran, you can marry your own daughter. All she got to be is 13 years old. You can marry her. Because guess what? In Iran, women don't have rights. If she agrees to it, she has to agree to it. If she agrees to it, you can marry your own daughter. Talk about incest to the third degree now. But now we're in a country that doesn't allow that. But just don't think it's because we don't allow that now. Don't mean they won't allow it later. I would never. Are you sure? Are you sure? This is bad. I know. I wish I could have a graceful and, you know, happy-go-lucky sermon for y'all, but guess what? These are things going on in our world and our society. You need to be alert of it. We can't just drive around being happy knowing that these things are happening to people every single day. All right? Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read 26 through 31. And then we're going to go to Genesis 2. And read verses 19 through 25. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. And then we're going to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. Let's go to the beginning. And I'm going to show you what we're made for. This is after God created life. This is after he created all the animals. This is when he gets to us. And God sanctifies us. And he separates us from everything else in existence. Everything else in existence does not have the right to disobey God. The sun has no right not to shine in the morning. The moon has no right not to shine in the night. The stars have no right not to twinkle. Okay? The wolf has no right not to hunt. A lion has no right not to war. But we have been given a right to do what is right. And to do what is wrong. We have been given that right. In verse 26, God says, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move among the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree has fruit and with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds of the air, and to all of the creatures that move on the ground. Everything God has breath of life in it, I will give every green plant for food. And it was so. And verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It wasn't partly good. It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is what we were created for. This was our function. This is what we were created for this, to subdue the earth, be fruitful and multiply. We ruled over the seas. We ruled over the air. We ruled over the earth. We were rulers. Like the Mercedes car, the three-pin star. You know what that means? The three-pin star? Rule over the sea, the land, and the air. That's what that three-pin star was. That's what they got the, you know, if you didn't know that, that's what they got the symbol from. But this is what we were. We were rulers. Okay? We were rulers. This is what God had for us. But something changed. Our minds changed. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read 19 through 25. 19 through 25. All right. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock of the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made woman out of the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united with to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Not two, not three, not four, not five, or with another animal. One flesh. They're supposed to be one. When a man and woman gets together, they have one seed. Sometimes they can have quadruplets and all that stuff, but it's all supposed to be together. This is the way God made, this is the way he wanted us to say. Now we got so much technology and so many things out there that you can do almost whatever you want and come out with the baby you want. It can be all messed up. We are doing this to ourselves. But they didn't want to blame God when things don't go good. We want to blame God whenever there's a death or a situation or experience that you had. We want to blame God for it. We have no self-accountability. And any even scent of talking about hell or any eternal place away from what you want, people are going to be offended by it. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. But our job is not to necessarily always be so sensitive about what people are offended by. Our job is to be concerned for them, yes. But our job is not to save people's feelings from the truth. Now, are we supposed to judge those outside of the church? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If they want to learn for themselves, they are welcome to. But we ourselves cannot hold our tongue if they are offering us to tell them the truth. If they offer us to tell them the truth, we cannot hold our tongue. And say, okay, this is what you want. I'm going to tell you. All right? It says, the man will leave his wife there and become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. They felt no shame. You know why they weren't ashamed? Because they were doing things according to God's will. Only time you do feel ashamed is because when you know you're not. That's when I feel ashamed. That's when you should feel ashamed. That's a natural feeling because you know it's not right. God has put a conscience in everybody. He knows we know what's good and what's not. But we can ignore it by getting more into trouble. We ignore what is right or what's wrong when we go deep into it. Okay? We can get lost. We can get lost. Alright? Now, let me show you some people that get lost. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 32. Watch this. In your Bible, okay, when we read this verse, it may say, rose up and play. But that word play don't mean going to Nickelodeon and going to Disneyland. The word play means something completely different. Okay? All right. When we get to verse 6, we're going to read down to verse 8. But when we get to verse 6, if you got a King James Version, it may say, rose up to play. All right? Who has a King James? Anybody?
I have a new King James.
You have a new King James. All right. When we get to verse 6, watch what it says. All right? All right. We're going to start at verse 1. When the people saw Moses was so long coming down from the mountain, they gathered Aaron and said, you see how they planned this? You see how their minds were already? When he took so long to come down from the mountain. Okay? Now we can relate this to today. Jesus has been in heaven for a while. Why is he taking so long to come back? He's been up there so long. Maybe he forgot about us. Maybe he's not coming back. It's been longer than 4 days and 40 nights. It's been longer than 1,000 years. What if all this stuff that was wrote about was not true? What if the grip of God and his people are growing weaker and weaker? Now we can do what we want to do. All right? Come, let us make gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. When he told them what he was going to do. Aaron answered them, take off the gold rings that your wives and your sons and your daughters were wearing and bring them to me. So the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took off what they handed him to make an idol cast into a shape of a calf, fashioning it with tulle. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought us out of Egypt. Now they just said, okay, in verse number 1, as this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. But now they're saying, okay, in verse 4, O Israel, they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. You see how their mind just changed? In the second verse, they saying Moses did it. And the fourth verse, they saying their gods, the golden calf they just made, did it. They just changed their minds that fast. Who taught them to lie like that? All right, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced. Aaron announced this. Aaron, the Levite priest, announced this. He went along with it. This is why he didn't choose Aaron. He gave Aaron a different job. There's certain things you can do, Aaron. This you can't do. He gave in. The people had influence over Aaron. Remember we were talking about influence earlier? You see what happened? They influenced him. Changed his mind about it. He was the only one who had the mastery to make something like that. They knew he was good at doing that. So they pressured him into making it. All right. Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So that next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down and eat And in verse 6, if you have the New King James or something like that, it will say, rose up to play. But in this instance, it's saying, I got up to indulge in revelry. Revelry and debauchery are related. Playing means the same thing. That's what it's talking about because of what they're doing. And then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. The whole time they were in Egypt, you never about hearing them being corrupt. You know where they learned this from? Possibly the Egyptians. Possibly them. They saw them doing it, even though they may not be being able to do it. They saw them doing it. Now they want to do it. But Moses, God said to Moses, your people have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them. I have made and have made themselves an idol and cast in a shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods who brought you up out of Egypt. These are your gods. Said, this will be the God that's going to go out. Make us a God to go out before us. When they already had a God to go out before them. These things are in the world that are cool to the world. Living this lifestyle is cool to the world. But is it cool to the world? God hates it. As a believer, you must die to yourself. This is what Jesus was saying is, anyone wants to come after me must deny himself. Means dying to the things that you think is cool. And subject your way to the way I want you to live, which is going to be much better for you physically, for you mentally, and for you spiritually. It's not just a physical or a spiritual life change. It's a mental one too. We forget that part. We forget that this is a mental lifestyle change. You need to change your mind. Satan doesn't want your money. Satan doesn't want your body. Satan doesn't want your job. Satan wants your mind. A predator does not want any of those things. He wants your mind. Once I control your mind, I can make you do whatever you want. I can make you do whatever I want you to do. When I step into the room, you're going to do this for me. You can't go to the bathroom without me. You can't go eat without me. You can't leave the house without me. You can't text or call no one without me. I control every aspect of your life. If you've been thinking about getting independent thought, I'm going to take that away too. There are people in this world that have that kind of control over people. Trust me, these things exist. And all it takes is one bad thing for that to happen. This is real. The people like this exist and it is real. We must die to ourselves. Okay? We need to stop hardening our hearts to correction. Stop calling ourselves fire preacher and legalists. Making the traditions that we do in the church bigger than the church itself. We need to stop doing that. Alright? We don't have to have these things. We don't have to have that. Only thing we have to have is the word. The word should be bigger than you and me and everything else. Only reason why we're here is because of God's word. What makes God's word true? What makes God's word true? Alright? Why should God let us into heaven? Have you ever questioned that? Why should God let you into heaven? What have you done to deserve heaven? What have I done to deserve heaven? If the righteous scarcely be saved, you barely gonna make it. You gonna barely make it. And we make it to heaven, guess what? Our eyes should be messed up. We should have limbs. Something should be missing. I'm talking about the way we... I'm not talking about the physically the way we look. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about mentally. We should be jacked up. Because we should have gone through some stuff to deserve it. We should have gone through some things to deserve that. Some major, major pains, ups and downs, roller coasters. In order to make it worth it. The road to success is not straight. The road to success is all over the place. It's not straight. If you think it's straight, then you're going the wrong direction. I'm just telling you right now, it ain't going to be straight. It ain't going to be easy. It was made to be palatable. It was made to be possible, not easy. Nothing good comes from anything easy. That's just the truth. All right. And he says that, they said that, you know, these are our gods. Make us a god to go out before us when they already had something that was going out before them. All right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. We're going to read verses 21 and 22. Exodus 13. This is what went out before them. Okay? They will go out before us and give us comfort. This is what gave them comfort. Alright? This is this was before Moses went on the to the mount and received those commandments. This was way before that. Look at this right here. Alright? It says, verse 21. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of a cloud to guide them on their way, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So they could travel by day. They can travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor a pillar by fire by night left its place in front of the people. So they did have something that was going out before them. They had the pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. No one knows how this happened. God did this this miracle that was guiding them every step of the way, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them. Nothing will ever be enough for you if you do not fully trust God. Until you fully trust God, nothing will ever be enough for you. You will never be satisfied. There's not enough wisdom. There's not enough money. There's not enough resources. There's not enough relationships and partying and all this stuff that you're into. There's no way to ever be enough of it until you fully trust and be obedient to God. There's no way to be happy. There is never going to ever be a way to be fully happy without trusting God. He's the only one that can provide that true happiness, because before man fell, they were happy because they fully trusted God. You have to be spiritual. You have to be a Christian to have that happiness, to fully trust God. Because if God is not in your life, what's driving your happiness? Nothing on this earth can fully satisfy you, because everything on this earth dies. Everything can be burned. The whole world can be burned. How can you be satisfied with something that can burn? That can go away. You will never be satisfied with that. Why can you be married and be satisfied? Why can you have a satisfied marriage? How is that possible? If you did it God's way. That's how you know you can have a satisfied marriage. Because there is no doubting and doing the way God said. There's no way to doubt that. But there is a way to doubt it if you do it any other way. There is doubt. And God made it that way. I have one more to show you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 15 through 18.
Verses what?
We're going to read verses 15 through 18. Ephesians 5. Okay? And then we're going to read, I thought it was going to be the last one, but there's one more after that. You can go to Romans 12. I always say that, oh, this is it, but no. I got a whole hour left of stuff. Maybe at least an hour of stuff. But, all right. Verse 15. Okay? This is Paul speaking to the Ephesus church. Be very careful. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Not was evil, not getting evil, but are evil. The days are evil. The days are evil, not good. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads, in the NIV, guess what it says? Debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, in the NIV, the word is there explicitly. Debauchery is there explicitly. So this is a word that was common in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's just that in the King James, the word isn't there because the word wasn't invented yet. But the attitude, behavior is there. The behavior has been there. All right? So no one can say to me, oh, the Bible doesn't speak about this, doesn't speak about that. It speaks about enough for you and common sense to know what you're doing is wrong. Okay? It speaks enough about it for you to know what you're doing is wrong. When the Bible says, in such like, that means in such the stuff you're talking about. But we are so smart to dismiss and undermine God's word to justify what we're doing is right. And we can be so good as a society to where we try to leave God completely out of it. But there's always going to be people that's going to stand for the truth and what is right. And until they can't do that anymore, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. All right? They're going to keep doing what they're doing. I got just last one here. Romans. All right? Chapter 12. Romans 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and the lesson is yours. Let me try to find it. All right. I'm talking about living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you. Paul's begging the Roman church. He's begging us. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Not yourself. Not yourself. That means there's no way to be a Christian and be selfish. Do we have selfish ways? Absolutely. Do we have selfish tendencies? Absolutely. But what should we be selfish people? No. Everyone has selfish tendencies. Everyone does some selfish things. But we should not be selfish people. What I mean by selfish people is, I'm going to be me and there's nothing you can do to change it. That's what I mean by being selfish. This is who I am. This is the way I was raised. This is the way I'm going to stay. That's being selfish. That's someone's mind who's already made up and God can't get to them. All right? That's what he means. This is what he means by offer yourselves as by living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Spiritual act of worship. This is every day. This is an everyday lifestyle. This is an everyday. Do not conform any longer. That means that you have the power to change. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. He is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right? And God has given us the ability to change. When you become a Christian, he has opened up the mental capacity for you to change because you have God's Spirit, which is stronger than your weaknesses, helping you to change. But if you resist and grieve the Holy Ghost, you can't change. There's a way to grieve it to where he can't change you. He can't guide you because you're so resistant and you don't want to give up those things that were so important in your life that's not important at all. Just let it go. What Jesus said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better to go into glory with a missing eye than go into hell with two working eyes. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better to go into heaven with one arm or one hand than go into hell with two hands. He's saying whatever it is in your life that's causing you to be this way, get rid of it. But we're talking about debauchery. We're talking about living a lifestyle of this to the most serious degree. All right? We're talking about the world around you that's being this way. Y'all need to be aware of it. You need to be alert. And you need to pray. Because there may be people that you know that exercise and live this way every day, and they don't see a way out. You may need to be the one that helped them get out, okay? Because there are some evil monsters out there, and they're in people because they follow the will of Satan, that other father, instead of God, that heavenly father, okay? When God said, between her seed and your seed, there's another seed out there. There's an evil seed out there. When Eve had Cain, she thought that was that good seed. When it was her seed physically, but it was not that seed that was good. That was Satan's seed that killed his own brother. That was the evil seed that God was talking about. When she thought it was a guy, I have gotten a man from the Lord. What she really means is, that's the seed that God was talking about. No, it wasn't. She thought it was, but it wasn't. Alright? But if there's anyone today, I know that sermon was about debauchery, living a lifestyle of lasciviousness, of sin, drunkenness, parties, and wine, and all that. Okay? But there is an opportunity and a way for you to get rid of all of that in your life today and right now. But it's going to have to take some changes. All right? First thing you got to do is hear God's word. After hearing it, you must believe God's word. You have to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized. But you have to be baptized with a conscience of knowing what you are doing. Okay? We're not talking about that infant baptism. Or that baptism you had when you were so young, you can remember what you were doing. You were just doing it because that was a thing to do at the time. We're not talking about that. You have to be mature and of an age to where you're knowing the difference between right and wrong. And you can physically yourself confess that Jesus is Lord in public. If you did not do that, then you are not, okay, in the body that is very strong. I know it's very harsh, okay? But there are other churches that believe in, since you were baptized, that means that you're in the church. That's not true. The first time I was baptized in a tub by a woman. It was not right. I thought it was right. It wasn't until I was taught right until I realized that you can only get baptized once, but it has to be according to God's will, according to the scriptures. Not according to what we say and what we think, and what our mother said, and our father said, and our great-grandma, and our great-grandma, our great-grandpa said. It has to be according to God's word. If it's not according to God's word, then you need to be baptized today.
Amen.
But if there's anyone that desires to put a God's, that want to put on baptism, can do that right now. As you stand and sing to save his invitation.